To see our young people in church this morning, I'm telling you, things aren't like they used to be. Dorothy, you know, she said, I don't think this is Kansas, Toto. The reason she said that was, things didn't look like they did down in Kansas, and that's about where we're at. Our young people are being attacked. They're being victimized. They're being seduced. And we've got a lot of technology today. And I'm for technology. I'm not archaic. I'm not Stone Age. I'm for technology. But even in technology, you got to be careful. We got young people today losing their lives, texting while they're driving down the highway. You got young people being seduced over the internet. Just a lot of things. But our young people are literally under attack today. And we really need to pray for our young people. If you don't pray for anything, please remember our young people. It's so good to have these young people here this morning. I appreciate Brother Anthony and Sister Melissa. They're very mindful of young people, very oriented to bringing young people to church. Matter of fact, most of the time we've got young people here, they bring them. Good to have them here this morning. They're desperately missed when they're not here. And we're truly blessed when they do come. And I know their job keeps them on the road a lot. But I'm always glad when it can work out, they can be here. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, the text is in Luke chapter number 10. If you don't have a Sunday school book, you can open up your Bible, Luke chapter number 10. The golden text is Luke 10:16. It's Jesus here, He's speaking. And He has said, verse 16, Luke 10:16, He said, He that heareth you, heareth Me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth Me. And he that despiseth Me, despiseth him that sent Me. Now, they still hate Jesus. They hate Him without a cause when He was here. And they hate Him today without a cause. That's why Jesus can't be in your schools. They hate Him. That's why you can't mention that name Jesus. They hate Him. That's why you can't pray in Jesus' name. It's because they hate Him. Now, if you don't pray in Jesus' name, don't even bother. Because Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in My name, the Father heareth. So if you want to pray in Buddha, Muhammad, or somebody else, go right ahead. You're wasting your time, but go right ahead. But if you want to be heard, then you'll have to say, Father, in Jesus' name, I'd like to talk to you. That's why the Bible said that through Jesus, a new and a living way was made. That through Jesus, you can boldly come to the throne of grace and make your request known. The only access you have to God is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, life. No man comes to the Father except through Me. There's only one mediator between us and God. It's not the Pope. And I will not call Him Father. And if you do, that's up to you. But I will tell you one thing. They hate Jesus. They despise Him. And when they despise Him, they despise God. Everybody wants to get to God somehow other than Jesus. Forget it. Mission impossible. Pilate said, what shall I do with this Jesus? His wife said, have thou nothing to do with Jesus. Either way, it's impossible. You're going to have to do something with Jesus. He's either going to be your Savior, and He is mine, or He's going to be your judge. Because the Bible said, judgment been appointed unto him that at the name of Jesus. And I hope they listen good out there on the internet. I don't know who all listen to our website. It is highly visited. I'm so thankful. Appreciate Brother Anthony obeying God, having it in his heart to start that website. And it truly is heaven-sent blessing. But on that internet right there, a lot of people listen to that thing. And there's no other way to get to God except through Jesus. There's no other way to be saved. Acts 4:12 said there's no other name given unto heaven whereby we must be saved. No other mediator, no other way. You can't get to God except through Jesus. All right, our introduction here Christ, He sends these disciples forth, and they're 70. He appointed others 70 also, and I'm just going to suppose that that's counting the 12s, it might have been 82, but anyway, to these 70 also, He sends them forth as lambs among wolves. That's about where we are today. Jesus said, marvel not that the world hates you. Know that it hated me first. And He said, in the world you'd have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. We're overcomers through Him. But I'm not the lion, I'm the lamb. And there are wolves, raving wolves, down here. And they love little lambs. And I wish those older lambs would at least acknowledge and realize that and protect these little ones. Oh, I'd love to spend some time right here on how the gays have won. Now they've got access to our youth through the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and hallelujah, glory to God. Boy, we've come a long way. We're such a blessed nation. Yeah, I just hope one of these days that we do awake to our sins, because they're just multiplying, mounting up against us. But the wolves want the lambs. And here we are, nothing but lambs. And these disciples, same way. The Lord does not promise them popularity. And I know everybody thinks, hey, I'm saved now, everybody would love me. You better think again. You better realize this is not only not heaven, but to the child of God, this is only hell you'll ever know. And to the lost person, this is only heaven you'll ever know. But I'll tell you one day, glory to God, I'll graduate this life, and I'll say I wish the Lord come get me today. Y'all say whatever you want to, but I better have my field down here. I love you. But I know about a better place than this. I've got a longing in my soul to depart and be of Christ, which is far better. I can't help that. Man, He made that real in my soul 24 years ago when I got saved. And ever since that day that I prayed and called upon Him, that rich in mercy to all that call upon Him, and got wondrously and gloriously saved, ever since that day that I got up from praying, expecting to open my eyes and being in heaven. But it wasn't. But heaven did come down. It came down in my soul. It's still there today. And the Spirit of God rests in me today, that bears witness with His Spirit that I am a child of God. But I'll have to say one day, glory to God, I'll finally get home, Molly. But He does not promise them popularity. But He lets them know that in the world they will be despised. They will be rejected. I don't know what's wrong with the church today, but I just wish they'd read more Bible so they at least understand that they need to endure hardness as good soldiers of the cross. And they need to put the armor on. But the Lord, knowing that they would encounter opposition, He informs them how they are to conduct themselves when they are oppressed. And He told them about shaking off the dust of their feet. And He told them to do that to them that would not receive them, but rather rejected the gospel and them, the messengers of good news. And when they shook that dust off, it released them from any obligation or responsibility to those that turned the gospel down. Now, I'm just a gospel preacher. What is the gospel, Brother Eddie? That Jesus died for your sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That's what I am, a gospel preacher. That Jesus died for you. And listen, if He didn't get up, I don't have a message. If He didn't get up, He ain't God. If He didn't get up, there's no sense in preaching the gospel. But when He did get up, now I've got a message. Now I've got something to preach. He showed Himself to be God. Let's get in our lesson. Luke 10:1. Boy, that's a pretty good introduction. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before His face in every city and place whither He Himself would come. Now the Lord has just departed from Galilee. He's been rejected by the Samaritans. So now He appoints other 70 apostles or disciples. They'd be apostles because they saw Him. Paul said, "Have I not seen the Lord Jesus? Am I not also an apostle?" There are certain requirements to being an apostle. You had to be baptized by John the Baptist or see the Lord face to face. As with the 12, He sent them out in pairs. And the testimony of two is more effective than the testimony of one. But also where one might fail, the other could maybe possibly give the right word. But also they would encourage each other in the work. Two is the way to go out. It's really better. If you got too many, it ain't good neither because you can't get a word in. Two is the best way to go. I have went one-on-one. You make yourself pretty vulnerable when you go out one-on-one. Because if somebody says something you didn't say, there you are. You ain't got no one to back you up. It does happen. Verse 2, "Therefore He said unto them, the harvest truly is great, still great today. But the laborers are few, still few today. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest," not much of that going on, "that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." The Lord told some great truths in that verse. As it was then, so it is now. And compared to the greatness of the harvest, Jesus says, "Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest." Not only are more individual laborers needed, but they also need to be better qualified. Now when the Jehovah Witnesses out-witness us, the Bible says a true witness delivers souls. When the Mormons go with their two bicycles, their pamphlets, and the Jehovah's Witnesses their pamphlets and out-witness the church, that's all shame. But the Lord said, "Pray ye to the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers in His harvest." But they need to be better qualified. And the qualifications must come through the Holy Ghost of God. Now listen, if the Holy Ghost is not leading you to go, I wouldn't say not go, but I would say this, you would probably be more successful if God put somebody on your heart and you went under that inspiration. I told y'all last week, the Lord put Larry Vibbert on my heart. And I actually went to his house, knocked on his door. He wouldn't come to the door, and I left a note on his door. And I said, "Larry, please call me, Eddie." And he has yet to call, but I did go. The Lord brought into my mind, I truly did feel led of God to go. I was going to try to get him to come to the last night of revival, which is Friday night. I went Friday morning. He may have had to work. I don't know the circumstances. I never got to talk to him. But I did go, and I felt led of God to go. And sometimes it's like that. Sometimes God deals with you as sons, and you know that you're supposed to go, and you do go. And sometimes you forbear. But Jesus said, verse 3, "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." They were to go forth unarmed, defenseless, innocent, as lambs to foes that were cruel and malicious as wolves. Jesus occasionally admonished them to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. God's way, it ain't like our ways. I heard a story, and I will insert this in here. Someone told a preacher to go see a drunk. "If you tell me, I'll go too." He went, knocked on the man's door. The man said, "Come on in." The man sitting there at the table drinking. The preacher sat down. He told him, "Sit down." He sat down. He offered the preacher a drink. The preacher said, "No, thank you, sir." And he slapped him plumb out of the chair. Blood in his mouth. What's the preacher supposed to do? Well, he got up, got his handkerchief out, wiped his blood off his mouth, and he said, "Sir, I didn't come to fight with you. I come to tell you about the love of God." I'll be praying for him, left. Oh, about a month later, that man came in the back of the church, never even stopped at any pew. He walked on up here to the altar, and he spent quite a while up here weeping and repenting. When he got down, he stood up, and he said, "I just want y'all to know that that man right there has been to bed with me every night since the day I slapped him, and I want to ask for him to forgive me. I've done asked the Lord to forgive me. I've done asked the Lord to save me." He said, "I wished I hadn't have done it, but I did." That man got one to God because the preacher allowed himself to be defrauded. He didn't take up arms and get up and get that guy by the throat and give him one of them round haymakers. He just said, "I didn't come to fight with you. I come to tell you about the love of God, buddy." The Bible says overcome evil with good. And be wise. That was a lot of wisdom in it, Molly. But man, he used good words. He said, "I didn't come to fight with you, buddy. I come to tell you about the love of God." Verse 4, he says, "Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes. Salute no man by the way." The Lord said, "Don't take nothing with you. Don't take no money. Don't take no shoes. Don't take nothing." They were sent out. You know, that's the best way to be used of God, is to be totally dependent upon the Lord. They were sent out just as they were. And God would provide all their need. They were to go with no preparation. They were to salute no man by the way. Their business was urgent. We often spend too much time preparing. Worked on my head this morning best I could. About late getting up here. Ain't much to work with. But we often spend too much time in preparing and too much time in flattery. So, the Lord said, "I must be about my Father's business." At the age of 12 years old, he started working in the vineyard at 12 years old. I'd like to see some young men that had a heart to serve God. They would start early. Jesus said in John 11, verse 9, "Are there not 12 hours in the day which men must work? For the night cometh, no man can work." Verse 5, he said, "And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be this, peace be to this house.'" First thing you ought to do is come in there and say, "Bless the Lord. Peace be to this house." You know, I'm not supposed to come in there, and I do. You know, I am known to reprove. I am known to rebuke, but I'm also known to exhort. First thing is say, "Peace be to this house." You know, that preacher didn't come in here and say, "You ain't nothing but a drunk. You deserve hell if you end up there. You ain't got nobody to blame but yourself." He come in. The man said, "Come on in." He sat down at the table, across the table from a drunk. And the drunk offered the preacher a drink. And he told him no, and he slapped him plumb out of the chair. But he didn't come in condemning. He didn't come in rebuking. He came in, really, with good intentions to tell him about the love of God. Jesus said, "Whatsoever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.'" Now, that's the way to start. Start it out right. Verse 6, he said, "And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again." You know, I wished every house wasn't a war zone. I wished every house had the peace of God in it. I wish there wasn't cussing, fussing, and all that in all the houses. But there's a real devil down here. And if he does get in the house, I'll tell you right now, buddy, it'll be rough. You'd be surprised what goes on behind doors, closed doors. But you being there will bring blessings to that home. He said, "If the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again." You know, we're preaching a message of peace. Verse 7 says, "In the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house." Going from house to house. You know, TV preachers, they kind of solicit from house to house. You know, they make merchandise of the things of God. They make demands and requests. Last Sunday, Charlotte asked me, what am I supposed to do when he called me and said I need money? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't give my money just to anybody, but if I felt led of God to give to something, I would. But they go from house to house, and the reason they do that is they're trying to solicit money. Thank you, Sister Molly. Thank you. They're trying to continue in the work. Their enterprise. They make a gain off of you. Oh yeah, I'm not a millionaire. To be honest with you, y'all probably ain't going to have a pastor much longer. And I'm telling you, Jesus said in the world you'll have tribulation. He said, Satan desired to have you. He may sift you as wheat. And I'll tell you right now, all that live godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution. He has sifted me like wheat. He has. He has turned me upside down. You know, this is not home. I went to the bank and borrowed $10,000 and they laughed me out of the place. I tried. I got down on my knees and said, Lord, I need you to crack the window of heaven just a little bit. But I'm not trying to make a gain. I'll just tell you that right now. But they go from house to house to make a gain. They make millions off of people that the Bible calls them simple. What's a simple person? That's someone... He doesn't really understand all of the Bible. They just understand just enough to get them in trouble. The Bible says, believe not every spirit that confesses Christ. It says, try the spirits whether they're of God or not. It says there are many antichrist in the world. It's because old brother Eddie ain't flying too high. Don't worry about that. Jesus said, if I had a need, well, I guess that's Paul said that. Paul said, if I had a need, he said, I wouldn't tell you. But they go from house to house for one purpose. They want to make gain. They want to take merchandise from you that they can add to their wealth. I'm not interested in wealth. Man, the Bible said, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient unto me. You're looking at a humble preacher, I ain't. Nothing. I ain't never been nothing. Won't never be no more what the Lord wants me to be. I'm like Paul. I am what I am. That's all I'm supposed to be. But I will tell you this, buddy. Not everybody's what they seem to be. So before you draw any conclusions, check the matter out. Old Brother Eddie, I'll tell you one thing about old Brother Eddie. Humble man, honest man, saved man, love the Lord. But the Lord told him not to go to house. For one thing, it'd take up too much time. But another thing, they wouldn't be doing what they sent to do. Verse 8, he said, into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. You don't have to come in and eat like a king. Man, I'm telling you, learn that we're just, when I get to heaven, I will sit down at the king's table. I will eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But until then, the Bible said, whatsoever is set before you, just eat it. I mean, if it's pinto beans and fried taters, my pastor one time, I've got to be quick here, said a woman called him while he was preaching on the radio, and she's an older widow. She said, you're my preacher, and I want you to come by. I want to meet you. Rick said, I will. That went on for a while. She finally called him one day. She said, I want a time and a date. I want you to come. He said, I finally whooped myself, and that I hadn't already come, and I drove up, and I pulled up in front of a little small, real modest, real small home. Said, I went in. He said, I've never been in a cleaner home in my life. Said, I sat down. Said, she fed me. Said, when I got done eating, said, I realized, you know, that I have been blessed. She said, I got something I want to give you. She gave him a dollar, and she gave him two silver half a dollars for his two boys. And she gave him some jam and a bunch of other stuff. But he said, when I left, he said, I was about that tall. I got up there in my car and bowed my head and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I understand a little bit more about what I need to learn a whole lot more of. Because he thought he was too busy to go by that widow woman's house. She imparted not just a blessing upon him, she admonished him about God. I can't tell you all about it. I'm looking at the clock. But he said, in whatsoever city you eat, you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Don't get your head up in the clouds. Don't think so high. You don't have to have a ribeye. Man, I'm telling you, just pinto beans, fried potatoes, and cornbread, Noel Brotman said, it's just like eating ribeye. Verse 9, he said, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. The first work he told them to do was heal the sick. That's what Jesus had been going about doing. The second work, he said, say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. The responsibility for the evangelism was they were to go and say that the kingdom of God has come unto you. We are His witnesses. We are His ambassadors. Verse 10, but into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your way out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. If they refused to listen, they were to shake off the dust on their feet against them. They were not to contend with them. They were not to waste any time. They were to give this warning. And by this, they would clear themselves of responsibility. But look here at the consequences. Verse 12. Jesus again speaking. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. The consequences that day, the day of eternal judgment at the second coming of Christ. In 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They returned to the company of Jesus and with joy. They said, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. In verse 18, the Lord, this is a very phenomenal statement that he said. Listen to this verse. Listen real good. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Understand what he just said. He said, I saw him fall. I was in heaven. I saw it. He saw the downfall of Satan. Verse 19, behold, I give you power. Matter of fact, Psalm 62 verse 11 says power belongs to God. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of your enemy, or of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He gives them the power over the enemy because he's got the power to give it. Verse 20, he says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Don't let it go to your head. Don't be infatuated that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Boy, that's something to rejoice over. I'm glad my name is wrote in heaven. It was a rejoicing the moment it got in there. Man, I ain't kidding you. I wish I could actually go through that again. But I'll tell you one thing. I've been going on that experience now, going on 25 years. But the Lord says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. All a man can do to me, Brother Melvin, is threaten me with heaven. That's all he can do. He cannot do nothing but threaten me with heaven. That's why Jesus said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. If a man come back through the back doors back there with AK-47, all he can do is put some holes in my tent, let my soul out, and return to God. God's going to give me a better tent. And when I get in that good tent, it ain't going to hurt like this one. It ain't going to have to be sewed back up. It ain't going to have all the flaws that this one's got. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said we groan to be clothed upon with that new tabernacle. We know if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we've got another eternal in the heavens made without hands. Anyway, let me get back. They were to rejoice because their names were written in heaven. They were to rejoice because they were citizens of heaven. That's our citizenship. I'll tell you right now, I'm already seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm already as good as there. I'm already. My conversation's already there. My name's already there. Reservation already been made. Amen. For Eddie Wade. Amen. You miss heaven? Thank you, Gayla. Well said. Gayla said if you miss heaven, you missed it all. Matter of fact, Jesus said you'd be better off if you're never born. You miss heaven. Because eternity in a place called hell will be a place of eternal regret. Down there for eternity, you'll say, why didn't I get saved? Why didn't I repent? Why didn't I come forward? You'll have eternity. I'll have eternity to rejoice. You'll have eternity to repent. But I'll tell you one thing, the grace of God leads people to repentance. It led me down on my knees one day, Brother Melvin. I still remember the day, but I knelt down wondering if God would forgive me, if God could save me. I found more God than I needed. I'm telling you, buddy, oceans of mercy and grace come down. Woo! Call it whatever you want. I call it glory to God, saved to the uttermost. From the guttermost, saved. What a lesson. All right. Well, I don't see Brother James this morning, so I guess y'all going to have to put up with me to conduct a Sunday school activity here, so I'll do my best. Brother Bobby, what's the Sunday school report, brother?
24 here, 16 miles.
Amen. I thank God for the young people here this morning.